Amen. Certainly good to be with you this morning. I really appreciate the good attendance that we have observed throughout the meeting. It's great to see God's people who have a desire to seek His Word and to be filled by the gifts that God has given in the ministry. And we thank the Lord most of all for the Spirit being with us throughout this meeting. I've certainly felt it, and I've certainly enjoyed my time here and the hospitality that we have been blessed to receive. And we pray God's blessing upon you for that. Sure appreciate your pastor. It's been a great opportunity once again to be around him. And I thank God for his loving care of you as a congregation. I can certainly see that. Praise God for that. It's not that way everywhere. So y'all be prayerful for your preacher and thank the Lord for him. That's for sure. I'd like to speak to you this morning from Luke, the 5th chapter. If you'll turn there, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Let me just say, as you turn there, what a grievous day we witnessed yesterday. How dark the world is becoming, how the Lord is removing His restraining hand against evil, and we see evil just rising and growing worse and worse. But don't ever forget, the Lord is still on His throne. He's still with His people, and He is coming. That's a glorious comfort that we should feel. My brother, as some of you know, is a prosecutor, elected district attorney back home where I'm from. And about 10 or 12 years ago, he prosecuted a young man for killing 3 law enforcement officials. And that young man is on death row today. We've jokingly said the fellow on death row will probably outlive us. But we've had some personal connections with such horrible crimes against police officers. And I just ask you to pray for the families of those fallen heroes. As we read this morning in Luke, the 5th chapter, I want to read several verses here. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw 2 ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon Peter's, and prayed for Simon Peter that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I want to speak to you this morning about launching out and letting down. If you notice here, just to get the picture and to get the background, Jesus has been preaching out of Simon Peter's boat for a period of time here. It's most likely in the morning, and as you see from what Peter says himself, that they had been all night toiling and rowing and fishing. So you can imagine how Peter felt. He'd been up all night. Now, for some old Baptist preachers, that's just a standard. For this old Baptist preacher, it's not. I'm not that. I guess I'm more of a progressive, you know, because I just can't stay up all night. But Peter had been up all night, toiling, rowing, trying to fish. So you can imagine, if you've ever stayed up all night, which I have, you can imagine how he felt. And so here he is sat, and he's listened to Jesus preach off the end of his boat here for some period of time while he was in the boat sitting in the water, and Jesus standing on obviously one of the seats there so he could be raised above like a pulpit. And it says here that when he left speaking, as there was a quiet, you know, one of those times when nobody was saying anything, they were soaking in what had been said, he looks over at Peter and he says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. You know, this has to do with casting our cares upon the Lord. And that's almost what I refer to as a spiritual urban legend. You know, somebody, you're having trouble, you're having problems, you don't know what to do, you don't know how to deal with the situation, you don't know what to say. Maybe after something like we saw yesterday, you're just at a loss. at a loss for what you've seen. And somebody says, well, just cast your cares on the Lord. What does that mean? I mean, what exactly does that mean? And how is that comforting to us if somebody just says, well, just cast your cares on the Lord? I'd like to say, well, could you tell me how to do that? And here we find a model for casting our cares upon the Lord. Now, let's notice what's going on here. First of all, Jesus says to launch out. The word launch out, it's a navigation term that sailors would use, and it means to set sail. It literally means to come up from a lower place to a higher place. Don't miss that. Jesus says, I want you to launch out. He's saying to Peter, I want you to come from the lower place, standing on the shore, and come out to a higher place out here in the water. Come out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. Come from a lower place to a higher place. And then he says, I want you to let down your nets for a draw. So he's saying, come out, come up from a lower place to a higher place, and then I want you to let something down from a higher place to a lower place. So he says, come out here, launch out, and then let down. Now this is a model for us when it comes to casting our cares upon the Lord. Now I want you to, you say, well, how can we really relate? We're not fishermen. Well, I think you can relate to the emotional state that Peter was in. Simon Peter, when he hears the Lord say to him, I want you to come from this lower place that you're at to a higher place, and then I want you to let down what you've got to a lower place, from a higher place to a lower place, he looks at him and he says, Master. Master. Now notice how he is respectful to him, but notice the frustration of what he's going through. He says, Master, we've toiled all night. I've been up all night. I've done everything I could possibly do, and I haven't caught one fish. Have you ever experienced toiling all night in such a way? Maybe you don't fish, or maybe you can't relate to what exactly he was doing out there on the water, but maybe perhaps that, as I have myself, and I'm sure you have, that you have toiled all night with various issues in your life. I can't get this to rest. I can't get this to end. I don't know what to do. And that's exactly what Peter is saying here. We have done everything physically and emotionally that we can possibly do to address the situation. We've been up all night. I want you to notice that Peter was bitterly tired. Not just tired, but he was bitterly tired. Have you ever been that way? I mean, just and the very issue that you were dealing with would not give you rest. So Peter has been, they have been physically toiling all night. He's bitterly tired. The word toil all night there, it gives the indication, the root word means to beat the breast with grief. As the publican who came up into the temple and cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It says he smote upon his breast. You know, he had such emotional grief within him that he could not get satisfied with what was within him. It was taking something beyond him that was going to satisfy him. And of course, Jesus said that man went down to his house justified because of the fact that he realized the answer was not within him. And so Peter here is literally, he's been literally beating his breast. Man, why can't we catch any fish? We've cast this net out 100 times and there's nothing coming into the net. They tried all night long. He was bitterly tired. I want you to notice also, he says, and we have taken nothing. He wasn't only tired, but we would refer to him as being wired. Have you ever been up all night and you were just wired, maybe had a cup of coffee and you're just at your nerves in, you know, and if somebody says the wrong thing to you, you're going to snap at them, you know, or you're going to pop, you know, whenever somebody does something wrong. He's wired. He says, we've caught nothing. We've worked all night. We've toiled all night. We've been emotionally up. We've been physically up. And we cannot solve this problem. And he says, we've taken nothing. You know what he's saying here to Jesus? He's saying, Jesus, you're a carpenter. You don't know what it's like to fish. You haven't been out here in the water. You've been working in Joseph's carpentry shop all your life. How do you know anything about my problem? How do you know any way to tell me to come out here and launch out and cast down my net? Are you kidding me? You're not even a fisherman, Jesus. That's exactly what he's saying here. Now, the point of all this, you know, a lot of times we're kind of hard on Peter, aren't we? One of the reasons I'm hard on him is because I see so much of myself in him. I see myself in Peter. But let's give Peter a little bit of credit here. Because not only is Peter tired and he's wired up and he's also fired up as if Jesus doesn't have any authority to tell him anything about, you know, we're professional fishermen.
How can this man who grew up in a carpentry shop tell us anything about professional fishing? You know, think about that in terms of whatever issues we deal with. You know, how can this man who sits on the right hand of the throne of God tell us anything about what we need in our lives or how to deal with issues? Let me say that again this way, from the positive spin. How could he not tell us what to do with our lives when he's sitting on the right hand of the throne of God and he's been through everything even worse than what we've been through? Peter's doubting here. He's fired up. He's wired up. He's tired. But notice what Peter does. Now let me just say this. Peter does not emotionally think for one second that what Jesus is telling him to do is going to work. You hear me? You say, well, but Brother Tim, we've got to be Abraham-like. And we've got to be superhero Abraham Christian-like. Let me tell you something about Abraham. Abraham was not any different than you and I. Abraham just used what God had given him in a mighty way. Abraham was not a superhero of faith. None of those that are listed in the Hall of Faith there, the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews 11, were superheroes. They just used what God gave them. You have the same measure of faith that Abraham had. Now think about this. From an emotional standpoint and from a thought process standpoint, Peter says, this isn't working. I've been up all night. I'm a professional fisherman. I know what my game is. I know how to do this. And Jesus, you know, you grew up in a carpentry shop. You don't know anything about fishing. But Peter says, nevertheless. Now the point of that is this. You don't have to have all of your emotion and your mind into the concept and the reality of casting your care upon Jesus. You say, well, when I get my emotions straightened out and I get my mind straightened out, well, then I'll be able to cast my care upon Him. Wrong. Peter was not like that. Peter did not have his emotions straightened out. He was tired. He was fired up, almost a little bit angry or upset. He'd been up all night, and his emotional state was not into casting his care upon the Lord. But you know what he did? He said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Think about that now. One of the keys to casting your care upon the Lord, one of the keys to coming from a lower place emotionally to a higher place with the Lord, where you are able to let something down from that higher place, casting down your care. One of the keys to that is, even though you emotionally may not feel it, and even though you emotionally may not see it or physically can't see it, because all of the evidence goes against doing what God is telling you to do, you do it anyway. Right. Nevertheless, at thy word. Notice that's very important. If the Word of God tells you something about your issue, then even though your emotions are telling you something completely different than that, and even though maybe Dr. Phil or some other doctor of the world or some other source in the world is telling you something that's opposite, you say, nevertheless, at thy word. Because God knows much better than any source or authority that's out in the world. Now, if the source or authority is quoting what the Word of God says, that's fine. No problem. But that's very rare, is it not? When's the last time a source of authority was quoting from the Word of God out in the world? You do like Peter. Even though you may be tired and worn out and have toiled all night with the issue that you're dealing with, you say, nevertheless, at thy word, Lord, I will commit myself to what you have told me. So, what happened? It says, when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. Now think about that. Here they were all night in the dark out on this water, maybe with a lantern or something, and they're just casting their net again and again. Have you guys caught anything? No, they're not pulling up anything. Maybe a clam or something, you know. Or today we'd say, well, they pulled up an old tire or just something that's not even what they're looking for. And they're thinking, is this really going to work? I mean, it's daytime. We usually fish at night. You know, poor Jesus doesn't even know what he's talking about, because we're usually fishing at night to catch the big fish, and he's telling us to go out in the day. So here they go. And can't you just picture Jesus sitting? Because it says he was sitting there. He's sitting in the boat, you know, maybe with his arms crossed or just holding on the sides. Okay, guys, this is far enough. And they're like, what? This is the spot we fished out last night. There was nothing here. And can't you just picture Jesus and the sovereignty of his mind? You know, and I'm sure he didn't close his eyes and concentrate like this, you know, but he's calling those fish up. Come on, boys. Wouldn't you like to go fishing with Jesus? Come on, boys. And here they come. They're just a horde of fish, just a herd of fish coming. Here they come. And the guys are going, oh, good grief. Okay, boys, cast them out. Cast out the nets. And here they come. You know, and as soon as they cast them out, they reach out and they're drawing in this huge net of fish that's breaking. And they're calling to their partners, hey, this net's breaking. Come over and help us. And they're, what? We just fished it out last night. You know why? Because Jesus knows better than we do. He is the Creator and He has all power over heaven and earth and even the creatures of the earth. And here He brings His fish and they get in that net. Wouldn't that be great if we could fish like that? Brother Asher and myself have begun a yearly tradition of traveling down south here into Florida and taking a little fishing trip with Elder David Crawford on a yearly basis on the Ocklawaha River. I finally figured out how to pronounce that. And I butchered it for a number of months. So, you know, when we go fishing, you know, those fish don't come and jump in the boat. We have to fish for them. We have to stick something out there and hope that they get on it, have the right kind of bait. And I hate to say it, we left a little bit of bait up in the trees in different places, you know, where we flung it. But understand, you know, it's work. You know, sometimes you say, well, I just got to get.